Okay, with that, we're going to move to item number two, which is allocation of a court-appointed counsel fees, costs recovered from juvenile court-appointed dependency counsel cases. We have Corby Sturgis from our Center for Families, Children, and the Courts to present this issue. Welcome, Corby.
Thanks, Latko. Good morning. This proposal is the culmination of a long process that this committee has been actively involved in, both as a working group and as it's currently constituted. The committee has developed guidelines for the collections program. In August, if you'll recall, the subcommittee presented and he recommended an allocation methodology for allocating any funds collected through the program to the courts in accordance with the statutory requirements. Following gathering necessary information from the courts to determine which courts were eligible under the methodology you approved and recommended, we're now in a position to make a recommendation to allocate the funds that have been collected up to the end of fiscal year 12-13. The recommendation is that the committee in turn recommend to the council to allocate the full balance of collected funds as of June 30th, 2013 to the courts. I guess a couple of notes are appropriate. First, the collected funds would be distributed to the courts in the same way they receive their court-appointed dependency counsel funding currently. So for courts that participate in the draft program, that money would be added to the draft budget and administered by the council and its staff. For non-draft courts, the money would be made available for reimbursement, and the court could use it in a couple of different ways. I mean, it could add it to their base allocation for dependency counsel and simply use it for salaries, additional positions. But one of the advantages, I think, of making all the money available now is if courts have other plans, can come up with ways to reduce caseloads and improve outcomes for children and families in dependency cases, they would have access to that money immediately. So, but I don't have any suggestions, unfortunately, of what programs those might be. I guess I'm open for any questions that you have or concerns.
Just to follow up on your last comment, so would those monies be available for non-council costs if they were applied to a program to reduce caseload? So if you wanted to supplement with some sort of a preventative type program, or would it have to be something directly related to council costs, like investigators or things of that nature?
The statute requires that the funds be used to reduce attorney caseloads. It doesn't require that they be used on attorney salaries.
Okay.
Chris Volkers?
Just to clarify, so there's no proposal here to allocate the funds based on collection of the funds?
That's correct. The allocation is based on need.
Okay. Judge Good.
I was just trying to follow your spreadsheet. On page 16 on your spreadsheet, you've got draft listed on line 25 and again on line 32. Why does it appear twice?
The draft program comprises 20 volunteer courts for which the council and the AOC administer and fund their dependency counsel programs directly. They're divided here into those draft courts whose current funding is below the estimated need determined by using the caseload funding model, and those whose funding is at or above the estimated need.
Thank you.
So the on the spreadsheet, the courts in the yellow are funded below their estimated need, at proportion of need, I should say, and would receive an allocation. The courts in purple are funded at or above their estimated need. Although I should add to that that the estimated need that we used here was a three-year average of caseloads January 1st of 11, 12, and 13. Caseloads had been going down since about the middle of 2012. They have been increasing and at a rapidly accelerating pace. So the overall need now and at the end of this fiscal year will be much greater than the number we used here. And the next year's allocation would be made based on that need determined at that time.
Judge Chateau?
Yeah, Judge Earl. I noticed that alternative four was to hold the money till next year. Given the fact we all have our budgets in place and have made whatever plans we've made to take care of these issues for this year, if we get the money this year, is it just going to end up in the reserve and get swept at the end of the year as opposed to handing it out next year when we need it?
May I?
Yeah.
The proposal is that any funds that aren't expended this year would be carried forward to the next year.
Well, would they be retained by the court, or would they go back?
No, it would remain at the state level because they're available for reimbursement. So they would remain in the trial court trust fund until claimed for reimbursement. And if the court isn't able to spend the money that is allocated to it, that would carry forward on that court's account. But remained in the trial court trust fund.
Judge Schlau?
So then do I understand maybe a court who could use it would ask for it, a court who maybe would prefer to get it next year could ask for it the following year? Is that how I understand you say that?
Yes, that's the intent.
And that's under which option?
Option one. Option one gives the courts the most flexibility. All the money would be available right now, but there's no pressure to spend it. It won't go away if it's not spent in this fiscal year.
I'd make a motion for option one.
I second.
So there's Judge Schlau and seconded by Judge Clay.
Can I just ask a general question before we go forward? Why don't we see amounts reported for all 58 courts on the spreadsheet on page 16?
Because the courts that you don't see are the 20 draft courts, and their need was aggregated because it's determined using the same model, but because of the long-term contracts that the program uses to reduce costs, the flexibility in changing the funding is more limited. I can tell you that the court with the greatest need in the draft program, the one in the yellow, is Los Angeles. Their caseloads began going up much earlier than caseloads in most other counties in the state, and it's my understanding that they're struggling mightily to provide representation.
I have a question.
Judge Began.
Under option one, what guarantees that the money we are not able to use this year is going to be safeguarded for us in the trial court funding trust fund?
The statute only permits the money to be spent on reducing attorney caseloads and dependency. There's no authority to spend it for anything else. And I think it would take a statutory change to...
So in essence, the revenues are statutorily restricted, and so they retain if they're not spent, not used for reimbursement, then they're undistributed and they remain in the trust fund, and tracked by the Corbian folks
And my understanding is that there's no interest in removing or sweeping unspent funds from the state funds.
Okay, thank you.
Mike?
Yeah, I support the motion, but drawing attention to the table really underscores the tremendous gap between the need and the funding available we're all experiencing at the trial court level. And that trend's just going to continue upwards, I think. And so for future planning consideration, I think this is a great start forward.
And this program is the same program that the blueprint requested an additional $33 million to move closer to full funding of the need.
And Judge Clay, this particular fund is already underfunded, and the truth of the matter is you're seeing your caseloads go up because the Department of Social Services now is hiring more people because your counties are getting healthy. There have been a lot of vacancies there, and that is a factor. Once they hire more people, more of these cases are brought because these kids are the kids who are being abused, and they don't have people doing the cases. But now they're getting healthy, and we're going to see more of these cases. So, I mean, this is a good start, and it is underfunded, and it's a need, and the legislature supports it. So, in the end.
Thanks, Judge Clay. And, yeah, I think to add to what Judge Clay said, attorney caseloads are just one piece of the puzzle. As you know, you need judicial officers to hear the cases. You need social workers to process them more effectively. And so when one piece of the puzzle increases, you need the rest to follow or the system will break down.
Any other questions or discussion? So the motion, which has been seconded, is to adopt recommendation option one. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's our recommendation. Thank you, Corby.
Thanks, Judge Earl.